This is the Ultimate Advisor Podcast, the podcast for financial advisors who want to create a thriving, successful, and scalable practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your team, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to level up your advising practice, bring in more assets, and create the advising practice that you've dreamed of. You'll be joined by our hosts, Brian Sweet, who is moving fast towards $1 billion in assets under management. Brittany Anderson, the driving force for advisors looking to improve their operations and company culture. And Dre Redfern, who can help you systematize and automate your practice's marketing to effortlessly attract new clients. So, what do you say? Let's jump into another amazing episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast.
Welcome back to the Ultimate Advisor Podcast. Brittany Anderson here today with an extra special guest who is going to share unique perspective and give you a little insight into business. So I'm going to give the formal bio introduction of Mr. Christopher Turner. Christopher founded Emergicon in 2006 to fill a need in the ambulance medical billing services industry by providing a better solution for processing ambulance claims in Texas. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world does ambulance claims, medical billing, all that stuff have to do with your advisory practice? You're about to find out. Since that time, they have grown into Texas's largest ambulance billing provider and experienced year-over-year revenue growth, including being named to the 2019 Inc. 5000 list for fastest growing privately held companies. Christopher's mission is to help first responder organizations ease the cost burden of ambulance and fire response by recovering the best reimbursement possible. Their clients average a 25% increase in collections to support their communities. They've achieved these results with caring and well-trained team members, formal processes that focus on continuous improvement, rigorous attention to detail, and deep industry knowledge. Having spent more than 20 years now in the healthcare financial management and pre-hospital emergency management world, he is attuned to the complexities and trends facing their clients daily and enjoy helping them effectively and efficiently secure reimbursements. He is a staunch advocate and supporter for a company having core values and behaviors that drive a team's actions daily. Beyond culture, he's a proponent of continuous improvement, lifelong learning for team, for clients in the industry. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Christopher.
Thank you so much. That was amazing. I don't know that I've even heard that whole thing. That was awesome.
Well, you know, I think that we're actually going to dive right in head first for our advisor audience. And the thing that's so powerful about your bio, your background, everything that you have done is you know how to build, run, scale, and create successful business. So, Christopher, can you start by giving us a little background? I like to say it's the insider's peek beyond the bio, just on really what got you to the point that you're at today.
You know, it's we have the technical side of what we do, and there was definitely a need there, and we could talk some more about that. But I think what's really relevant where I am now, and it's relevant for others, is you've got to get really good about motivating and using others. And I don't mean using them, obviously, I mean leveraging them. And that's really, really key. And I think that tends to be the pitfall that any entrepreneur runs into, which is, how much can I do myself? How much do I have to hold very tightly myself? Am I the ultimate arbiter of all the decisions and all the historical knowledge and all those things? Or really, honestly, what piece should I be playing? And that to me is just the key. And with a lot of coaching and with some other organizations bringing me along, not the least of which is Strategic Coach and the Entrepreneurial Operating System, I've really gotten good in those areas. And that structure's allowed me to give up things I shouldn't have my hands in anymore and leverage other people who are so much stronger in other areas.
Mm. You know, Christopher, well, first of all, you're speaking our language, because we talk quite a bit on the podcast around, you know, different concepts within strategic coach, as you mentioned, and the founder, creator, Dan Sullivan's genius. So what you're really alluding to here is what Dan would call your unique abilities. So one of the struggles that we've often seen advisors have is staying on their side of the line. So once you've delegated and you've allowed people to step into their genius, what are some things that you've done or put in place to make sure that you as Christopher stays in your unique abilities and doesn't dip into other lanes?
It's tricky, and it requires several things. One is, if you're running on EOS, you need to have an integrator who helps hold you accountable. And for my integrator, Tiffany Pearson, we call that dipping below the horizon. So if I'm not providing some historical context, why am I dipping below the horizon? So I'll tell you kind of the path that I went through. So strategic coach helped me uncover a unique ability. I really took to it. So I tracked my time for, I think it was a year. It's been several years now at this point, but I tracked everything I did in my day in 7-minute increments. And I did that because I needed to create the master plan of what I shouldn't be doing anymore. So once you start to track some time and you start to say, I'm spending this, and this, emails, you know, calendar, whatever it is, I'm spending time here. That's a meaty piece to give to somebody else. Give that to somebody else, give them what success looks like, what it really means to you. It really gets easier because you're probably your own worst manager, I'll say. So when you give it to somebody else, give them kind of what does success look like, and you hold them accountable in saying, hey, this is something you can do to really help me. And they really like to be able to help and help you get results. That really weighs a lot in terms of time and freedom to be able to hand those things off. And I think you have to pull them together. If you pull off just one thing, you know, I just need you to monitor my email like that, that's not very meaty. You need to hand people big chunks of things that you're spending your time on, that they know that they have the ability to run with it and they have the freedom to do it. You've given them a...
You know, I think there's so much a bunch of power in what you just talked about with giving away the meaty stuff. I can say it from my own perspective, I have been absolutely guilty of the drive-by delegations, the, you know, real quick, drop something on somebody's desk and then you keep running a million miles an hour. So are there any bits of advice from experience that you could give on when you're talking about giving these meatier chunks? You're so process driven. And that's one of the, I guess, similarities that we shared when we first met, is like looking at the EOS system and strategic coach tools and all these things that have added such great value. How do you avoid the drive-by delegations? How do you actually delegate the meatier stuff so that our advisors can walk away with a tactical strategy to implement immediately?
I think first of all, you have to look at whatever your business is, you're always practicing to improve. So if you play golf, you play tennis, anything, you are generally practicing to improve. You may involve coaches, et cetera. So you need to have that same mentality within your business. You technically may be the person who knows everything about what it is your company does. That in a lot of ways puts you as the single point of failure, let's say. So I think you have to approach it in that way, and you have to approach it to avoid the drive-by delegation. What I have to do is, and our integrator, Tiffany Pearson, has really helped me with this, which is no unspoken expectations. So Don't hold things, just lay it out so that people know what success looks like for them. It doesn't matter what it is. So let's say it's booking your travel, just lay everything out. Just share it, ideally in writing if you can, but then have the conversation and say, this is what it looks like. And then when you realize maybe you haven't touched on something, or they come back and you're like, what in the world? You know, this isn't what I shared. Have those conversations again. So people want to be successful. They want to be successful in supporting you. So they need to know what that success looks like. And that's not something I'm great about. I'm usually quick to realize I would have done this better, or even worse, a lot of times people put in effort and I think, okay, here's now naturally the next thing. Slow down. Say thank you, express gratitude, and then kind of give them the next phase of, now that we've gotten here, now here's what I'm thanking. You've done so well. I like to. So lay it out there. People want to be helpful and be successful. They don't want to go to work and feel like they're just plugging in the hours so they can get out of there. That's the most rewarded people can feel, and they want to do it. So let them do it. And when they don't feel comfortable with something, take it away and give it to somebody who does. Not everybody's great at everything. So if it's something that they just don't feel accomplished in, don't keep ramming it down. They either aren't the right person, or you've given them something they just don't have a natural ability for. That would be my short advice.
All that keeps ringing through my head is no unspoken expectations. I think that is worth its weight in gold in this, you know, segment that we're talking about here.
Not my phrase. I mean, I'm giving credit to Tiffany.
Well, Tiffany is genius. I think that is that's so important to remember, because I think one of the thing that happens with, call it, the high achieving entrepreneur and many of our high achieving advisor audience members, is they absolutely have in their head this picture of what they want to see accomplished and what they want the end goal to be, but it's really hard for them to get it in paper and truly articulate what it is that they want. This can happen, I think, especially when somebody has such a big vision. They get excited and you're eager and you just want to see it come to life, and you're giving maybe 20% or 40% of the information that a team member needs to succeed. Christopher, one thing that I've said, and I would love you to comment on this, is you alluded to it here, is, you know, people want to know what it means to win. They want to know what it means to succeed. So, you know, you mentioned here that you've caught yourself before where you look at something and you're like, oh my gosh, I would have done this totally different or whatever. You know, how do you help set people up, you know, to know what winning is every single time?
You know, you have to narrow your focus on, I think, the most important relevant things for you. And they may be a little different for each person in the organization. I don't mean, obviously, people are all different, but I mean in the organization. But for you, you've got to have your own filter in mind of, is this part of my key focus, so it's really, really important, or is this just kind of one off? So for me, I've been exploring that concept through Dan Sullivan, strategic coach, and then Ben Hardy, and he wrote the book about 10X, and all that is about filtering and focus. And I think in all of our lives, we do that. You know, we choose a spouse versus a filtering and focus. We choose, you know, maybe sports or education, whatever those things. So as you get later in life, and as you are in your own organization, you have to have that kind of same kind of thing. It's not everything. It's not everything you focus on. It's not everything comes to you. It is only certain things. And that's a unique ability reflection. But you have to start thinking about that. Is this something that needs to come into my purview because it's that important and I'm that uniquely skilled at dealing with it? Or does it need to go someplace else? So I'm a big fan of using the tools from Coach to put things in writing. Because if you haven't sold yourself first in writing, it's virtually impossible to sell somebody else. And when we talk about drive by delegation, you pass off something. You have an idea of what it's going to look like in your head, or when it comes back, you certainly have maybe a critical eye. That's not really helpful if you haven't given them some clarity about, this is actually what I'm trying to accomplish. So I'm not great at it. I just keep really working at it. It's hard. Communication can be tough. And so you gotta get those things out there. And then you have to say the other part and let the person also respond. You know, that wasn't what I heard from you. You know, I thought that this is what you wanted. Say, no, I get that. I probably would have seen it that way too. Actually, what I'm trying to accomplish is this. Can you help me?
Mm, And I think that dialogue is so incredibly important too. You know, one of the things that we encourage with our team members at Sweet Financial Partners and within any of our businesses really is if you get something, if something is put on your desk, and, you know, be it one of the strategic coach tools like an impact filter, you know, for those of you that are not familiar with strategic coach, I highly recommend you go down the rabbit hole and check it out because the tools are so incredibly valuable to really help you think through just every aspect of your business. So there's our shameless plug for strategic coach today. But, you know, one of the things that we highly encourage our team members to do is that if you are delegated something, or you're given some sort of task or whatever happens there in that communication, if you don't feel like you have enough, if you don't feel like you have a clear picture of what the end goal is, we give our team members full permission not to execute and to come back and say, hey, this isn't clear. You didn't give me everything I need. And that's seen as a positive versus a negative, which I know, unfortunately, in some companies that can be seen as a negative. So I think that what you're doing here, Christopher, is indirectly you're inspiring people to be leaders. So I know you and I had a conversation offline about this several weeks ago, just on how you turn team members into leaders and how you really help them lean into their unique abilities, how it's not just about yours and allowing you to focus, but really tapping into theirs. So what are some of the things that you're doing to inspire leadership in each of your team members?
Several things. So we have core values under the entrepreneurial operating system model. You know, you have core values. I found that to be tremendously valuable. We have core values. They have sub behaviors. Those are really helpful to keep us all kind of marching at the same drumbeat. From there, you want people to grow as leaders, you know, not managers. I mean, you want managers to grow, but you want them ultimately, if they're capable, to grow into a leadership, not a management position, because your organization needs. And I am not a great educator or trainer or anything like that. So what I generally do is leverage people who are. So we have some great trainers in our organization, leaders. And so we do a number of things. One is we do leverage Strategic Coach Teams program for our team, because I'm not comfortable taking the concepts I've learned and then training them internally. I just don't feel like I do it justice. So we use Coach to do that. They do a great job, and we meet quarterly. That is the single biggest response we've gotten of any of the trainings we've ever done through our management team about how rewarding they find that, because it touches both on their professional and their personal life. From that, we're able to tailor our own trainings internally. So that could be technical. It could be shared learnings from, you know, something else that's kind of a sub-technical field. So we've done everything from personal financial management, budgeting, to we had a dietitian come in one time and talk. We just do a lot of different things to bridge the gap. So not everything is focused on business. People are people. And one of the things I've said in the past is, if you've ever worked with somebody going through a divorce, they're not the same person. They're going through a traumatic event in their life. And so you've got to understand that. You can't expect them to show up the same way they always did. You have to be appreciative of what's happening in their life. And along those same lines, you have to look at coaching and leading and mentoring people as individuals so that they understand, you know, how they grow as a person and grow as their career. You don't want those things so disconnected. You don't want somebody who has no personal growth, but then you expect them to grow into a leader in your organization. This is just not going to work. They need both. So you've got to look at it very comprehensively. So we do Thirsty Thursdays, which are trainings where we have a little bit of beer and wine and snacks. We do leads at lunch. So those are under management, where we have leads that come in, we bring in lunch, and we'll have one of the leadership team or sometimes somebody outside do some training for them. So it's pretty staggered in terms of the training and scale all the way up to the leadership team, which is the most intensive kind of coaching and training. So we just invest across the board. And it's not, I say invest because if you look at it as an expense, it's expensive. But if you look at it as an investment, it's extremely worthwhile. What I mean by that is, from a cultural standpoint, as we've gotten stronger and stronger, we've seen gross profit go up. We've seen our net income go up. We've seen our revenue go up. We've seen our turnover drop to, I think, almost nothing, quite honestly. I can't remember the last time that we had somebody leave our organization, and we're hiring almost all the time. So those are those things that you could probably sit down and put a pencil to paper and kind of calculate them out. I don't have the patience for that, but the net gain is just tremendous.
You know, you touched on a topic here that I think is really important for our advisor audience to hear. And, you know, you mentioned how, you know, if somebody is going through a divorce, you really have to pay attention to who they are, what they need at that time. And I'm a firm believer in no separation between this notion of like work-life balance. I think that it's life in general. And I think that when we start to separate these things, we're separating the human, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so, yeah. And I think that it's getting better. You know, the more companies that we engage with and advisors we coach or support, you know, businesses that we come into and do facilitations, we're seeing people open their eyes to this, but there is still that lingering mentality out there of, you know, suck it up and get to work. So are there ways or even thought processes that you can help share that somebody's maybe struggling to kind of overcome or lean into this notion of, hey, it's life and it's the human, and you're actually going to get increased results, productivity, you know, stability, all of those great things.
I think people are surprised a little bit when we, I don't want to say delve into their personal life, but where we are interested. So first of all, the fish stinks from the head. So I'm the head, and I have to be interested in the people I work most closely with. So leadership team, management team, and I am. I'm interested. We talk about our family. We talk about what our kids are going through. We talk about all those things. And we work on our trust, and we work on, you know, not using that against somebody, or, you know, running behind their back or anything like that. So it's all part of the same person, and you have to get to know them as an individual. And the natural question may come up, oh my God, you know, what happens then if you have to part ways? Sometimes that happens, and mm-hmm. it's not terribly comfortable, but it wasn't going to be comfortable anyway. You know, generally if you're parting ways with somebody, there's been a failure somewhere. And failure doesn't feel good. So you can't work in fear. You have to really dig in. And I find it really important to know the people as best I can. One of the things I've been the least comfortable with as we've grown to over 100 staff is I don't know everybody anymore. And that's hard for me, but I have to be okay with it, because that's, you know, that's part of growing. But I can know the people that I work most closely with. And I do work at that to make sure we know each other people. Secondly, what I do is I share pretty openly. So I share, I don't broadcast everything in my personal life, obviously, but I do take the time every quarter to write out my own moving future and what I'm excited about and focused on and where I see the next big jumps for me are. And that is both personal and business. And so people feel the freedom when I talk about my own health goals or marriage goals or whatever, they realize, oh, he's sharing things about his life as well. So I'll share some things about my life too. So it just opens it up. You know, the culture responds to whatever it really is, and that's good, bad, or whatever. It doesn't matter what you say it is. It is what it is. And so you have to continue to lay out there what it is you want it to be and help to reinforce that. So Brittany, what you said is it's true. You can't separate the person from the job at work. And I've worked places like that. I'm sure we all have in the past. It doesn't go well. It really doesn't. You're one spouse away from that person leaving your organization, because if they go home and talk about how terrible it is at work, that spouse is going to say, well, then why work there anymore? And that's going to make a lot of sense to them.
Mm. So much gold in what you just shared there. And, you know, I love that you talked about the moving future. And for those that aren't familiar with that particular concept or tool, it's another strategic coach one. And you really look at, yeah, I know that we could talk coach all day. So what you're looking at here is, you know, what's got you excited over the last 90 days? Like, what's really got you feeling good about your progress? What's hot right now? And then what are you most looking forward to as you look forward at the next 90? And if you've tuned into this podcast for any period of time now, you know that we are huge proponents of living in 90-day increments. and, yep, you know, making sure that you have this kind of bite-sized approach to your year. You know, 90 days is something that people can lean far enough into, but not feel like it's too tangibly out of reach. So the next question here, and it really spills into this notion of the 90-day momentum. So one thing that I know, Christopher, for you that's really important is the building in of free days. And as much as we encourage this with our advisor audience, with our coaching members, our mastermind members, people still struggle. They struggle to truly disconnect and to define what free days mean to them. So do you have any golden nuggets of wisdom on what free days mean to you and really how you've managed to master those?
I do. I've always been really solid in the work-life balance. It just has always come really natural to me. So anytime I've been in a program where that's been the point of discussion, like I have a speaker or whatever, I'm like, hey, I'm going to run and get a snack because I don't need it. So with that up front, I'll tell you, I think I'm stronger than other people I've talked to. However, not as strong as I would have liked to have been. So there's several things, which is if your business absolutely has to have you there to run, you basically have a job that you've created for yourself. So you need to be thinking about the fact that you're no longer going to be there in one form or fashion. And what does that look like? And not that sometimes we think, well, I'm going to die. What do I care? You know, the day after I'm dead, what do I care what happens to the business? That's not necessarily the right way to look at it, because that means you're going to permeate in the business that type of attitude, plus or minus, which means you're the arbiter, again, of everything. It all comes through you. If you can't step away, if you can't not be involved in the sales of the organization, all those things, then you have kind of a fancy job and maybe a well-paid job you created. If you can totally get away from the business, totally not checked into anything, in any kind of communication with the office outside of emergencies, that's very, very powerful. And what I learned, again, when I joined Strategic Coach, and I know we've talked about it a lot, but it's been really transformational for me. And when I first went to a coach offering, it was about how do you create a self-managing company. I'm like, where do I sign up? That sounds amazing, a company that can manage itself. But they taught the concept of free days, which are no work from midnight to midnight, no check-in or whatever. And I realized, even though I had taken days off and vacations, the first Saturday that I took as a free day was the first Saturday in about 13 years I had checked my work email. And I realized, oh, I hadn't really disconnected from the office, even though I said I was, you know, not working on the weekends. And then we had an occasion where my wife was a history major, always wanted to go to Italy. We took our trip to Italy that we finally could pull off, and we're on the coast of Italy, and I check my work email, and there's an issue with a client. And so then I'm on the phone, whatever. And it totally took away from where I was at the time, all this time we'd wanted to make this trip. And of course it didn't ruin it, but that day, that's what it brought for the forefront. Could I do anything about that issue? No. Did I have team members that could handle it? Yes, I did. So I got some of these little lessons about reinforcing. If it requires you, then you have essentially a fancy job for yourself. You really do. And that's not to say that your organization doesn't require you, because it does, but it requires you in very specific areas. So if you can't take time away with clear communication to everybody that I'm going to be here, I'll be totally checked out, I'm only available in the most dire of emergencies, you have a problem, because it's easier to ask you the question than for people to think for themselves or to do a little research, whatever. If you're always available, if you're always the person who's going to quickly give the answer, or they know it has to wait on you, you don't have the decision-making, you don't have the accountability, you don't have a lot of things there. So free days for me are super important. And we schedule them well in advance. And I encourage my leadership team to schedule them and take them and take a lot of them, because if they're not growing in their own capacity to lead their part of the organization in a way that is very focused and intentional, and then it's very hands-off removed, I mean, you leave a lot of strength just out there on the table, you're not leveraging. I mean, I can't emphasize enough, I think, how important it is for you to be able to leverage that ability. And then when you're taking free days and you take some extended time away, it becomes so freeing. It's not that you're not going to think about work, because you will, but you'll have left behind some of the day-to-day and you'll have different thoughts. You'll come up with different things and you'll make some connections, at least I do, where I think, that actually makes a lot of sense. And maybe I'm the last person to figure it out. But now that I've kind of connected these dots, I can then, you know, deliver more visionary type things that allow them to see what I'm thinking in a more comprehensive way versus kind of a one-off type way.
You know, I'm so glad that you went the direction of talking about how you not only do this for yourself, but how you really encourage it in your leadership and in your team members. And I think there's so much to be said there, because I've seen this happen before where, you know, the entrepreneur, the founder of the firm, they'll get really good at free days, but then they're not comfortable with their leadership team taking free days because they haven't done, I guess you'd call it the work, right? They haven't done the work to make sure that the team is a fully self-managed team versus just the leadership. So then they go into panic mode of, well, if I'm not there and a couple of members of my leadership aren't there, well, then what's going to happen? And it's like, well, no, you have to go every single layer deep. And I think it circles us right back to what you talked about in the beginning about really tapping into not only your own unique abilities, but the unique abilities of others and the team members that are so talented and can absolutely get the work done when you're not there and when your other leadership team members aren't there. So Christopher, this has been so wonderful. So I have a couple last questions for you, but before I do that, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, they want to follow you, connect with you, learn more about what you do, how can they do that?
LinkedIn's great. Love LinkedIn. So Christopher Turner, Emergicon, our sister company, also Emergifier. I'm on LinkedIn. My email is cturner@emergicon.com. Happy to help people in any way I can.
You are a true giver by nature. So I would be curious, Christopher, what are you really excited about right now?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. One thing, my wife and I will be married 25 years next April, and our sons are both now, as of this last year, up and out. So we're going through the adjustment of being empty nesters. And so during this period, I've had to decide where my focus is. And so personally, my focus has been on faith, growth in faith. It has been a growth in relationship with my wife and then my own personal health. And those have been the filters I've used as we come into this empty nest. And so my wife and I are making an effort every month to travel someplace. So generally someplace we've never been before. We've done a couple trips totally unscripted. Like we fly in this day, we fly out that day. We have no plans and we figure it out as we go, which has been kind of fun. Personally, and then professionally, as organizations, we have so many good things going on. Our leadership team is continuing to decide where our focus is and what our growth is next. So Tiffany, our integrator, has the growth plan laid out. We have our own little 10X team working internally to allow some people to do some more special project type things where they get to lean into things they're excited about. And then each of the leadership team members are focused on, of course, annual goals and rocks and their own time away. So it's been really interesting to watch them as they plan free days. And they're kind of like, I'd like to do this and that. Some of them are doing trips they've never done before. They're also incentivized at the organization, you know, for us to hit our certain numbers. And as we've done that, the last 2 years, Tiffany's been our integrator. There's been great incentives for them. So they are continuing to be excited and grow, and the management team's excited to grow. And so it's become very, very easy for me. So it's not always easy. I'm talking really about the last 2 years, but it's become easy and fun the last 2 years that we've allowed ourselves to really talk about, you know, what do we want to do personally, professionally? How do we continue to work with the people we enjoy working with and continue to grow?
You can literally hear the inflection in your voice as you talk about just the travel and the exciting things and your team experiencing really cool things. So I'm honored to know you, and I'm honored to have this conversation and hear just the great things that you're implementing. And I think that's key here for anybody tuning in is this. It sounds like, especially if you're not where Christopher is today, it sounds like a lot of work and it sounds like a lot of change, but really it's just small, simple actions implemented on a consistent basis that make the greatest strides for your business and for your team. Christopher, is there anything here that I have not asked you that I should have?
Not specifically. You know, we talked a lot about strategic coach. So, you know, there may be somebody thinks, is this an infomercial? It's not. I think that all of us find different ways to tap into mentoring and coaching. That's the real key. Is you probably know everything inside and out of your own organization, but you got to lean on the coach. So if you were to use a coach for something else in your life, it's no bit different. Use a business coach, use some other mentory type organization to help further you along. People want to be helpful to you. I want to be helpful to you, Brittany. I'm sure you want to be helpful to everybody. That's why you're doing this is no person knows everything. And a lot of us, this is the first time we've run into certain things. And so lean on people out there who can help you shortcut stuff.
That is brilliant advice. And I can attest to that. Hiring business coaches, getting involved in organizations, joining mastermind groups, all those things are literally some of the biggest catalysts to my own success, to the success of many, many people that I know, and definitely encourage that. So that was a great way to wrap things up. Christopher, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So that rounds out today's episode of the Ultimate Advisor Podcast. We're going to catch you right back here next week. Hey there, Brittany Anderson here. If you are loving what you're hearing on our Ultimate Advisor Podcast, don't keep us a secret. Share us with other advisors that you think would benefit from the messages that you are hearing. The easiest way to do that is to simply send them to ultimateadvisorpodcast.com. And if you want to learn a few other ways that we could potentially serve you as an advisor, go check out ultimateadvisormastermind.com. As always, we are so happy to have you here with us as part of the Ultimate Advisor community, and we look forward to a continued relationship.